Hugo Disler from Farming Secrets. We've got the pleasure to introduce Wendy and Peter Wallace from Allan Bank, and that's in Victoria. And so Peter and Wendy, you might like to give a very quick rundown of what you do there, and you have one of your sons who is part of your team, is that right?
We've actually got two sons at home now. We've got one helping with the dairy side of things and one helping with the chook side of things. So it's
So Peter and Wendy, you might give a very quick rundown of what you're doing on that property.
Yeah, we're organic, obviously, and we're certified organic, and we milk about 160 cows, mainly Friesians with a few Jersey crosses in amongst them, and milk off about 210 acres. It's very good soil where we are. It's been fairly dry, obviously, the last few years, but it's a pump for autumn this autumn, so it's going well at the moment. And we also run about 600 chooks at the moment for egg production, and looking to expand that a little bit more in the next few months. So that keeps us busy enough.
Peter and Wendy, when it comes to organics, is that something that you sort of pleased that you're in that area? Can you explain what the advantages of being in organics or getting involved with organics on the dairy side?
Yeah, we're certainly glad we are organic. That's the way we want to be, and the only way we would farm from now on if there was a choice. So we're certainly glad we've done it.
We were conventional farmers to begin with, and I have a passionate dislike for sprays and all things non-natural. So over the years, we've just edged along that direction, first with our fertilisers and eventually with the treatment of the animals. So it's been a gradual, probably 15-year shift, but it is a definite mind change when it comes to farming and philosophies on farming. So, we're very glad we've done it. We've got a son who was offered farm work elsewhere and wouldn't take it up because he doesn't want to use all those chemicals and things. And that's through no encouragement of ours, just simply by seeing what we do here and what he didn't want to do. So, that's the basis of what we are and what we do.
And what inspired you to go organic?
Just the fact that we're producing a food product, and of course we produce more than we can drink or eat ourselves, so we're producing for other people's children basically, and for other people, so we want to make it as pure and natural and good for people as we can, which to me personally means not having any chemicals in our food.
So what sort of steps would a farmer who's not organic take to become organic? Well, first of all, he's got to have an interest.
An interest in health, in what they're eating, what other people are eating, because bottom line is all farmers produce food for other people. So having an interest in the health of other people as well as yourself is a good start. But, wanting to be able to produce a clean food and something that long-term is sustainable both on-farm and off-farm. So first step is to have a look around and talk to people who are doing it and see what the hard things are and what the easy things are and start with the easy things. And, get your mind around that there are different other things out there than just what you've been taught.
Yeah, a lot of farmers, as soon as they hear organic, they sort of think it is quite hard. So what sort of steps did you put into place to start organically?
Oh, I think the hardest thing was to trust the natural treatment to the animals. That was the hardest thing, to get away from the penicillins and stuff. So once we started to use garlic tinctures and things like that, we started to get a bit more confidence with it, so that certainly helped.
But the easiest thing to start with is the fertilisers. Because you already have a build-up in the soil of fertilisers that have been used over the years that haven't been used by the soil or the plant, you have a natural build-up under there anyway. So soil's generally the easiest part to start with because you don't notice as much. Once you get the biology happening, there's already stuff in the ground that you've been putting on for years and years that a lot of it hasn't been utilised. So you've already got an abundance there to start with. So that's probably the easiest place to start.
And so do you, when you went organic, did you have someone mentoring you? Or how did you sort of follow the steps?
There aren't any steps. Every farm is different and every organic farm will run a different program. So there's no hard and fast rules as with conventional farming. Like if you put on, you know, so many kgs of super or urea or DAP or MAP or whatever, that you're going to get this result. Every farm is different. Every fertiliser application that they've done over the last 20 years is going to be different. So there's no hard and fast rules. And like we have 20 or nearly 30 farms all up in the organic cluster at the moment. And all of them would do things totally different when it comes to fertiliser.
So your organic group is called what?
Oh, that's just our cluster of farms that are in with the Organic Dairy Farmers of Australia.
So it's the Organic Dairy Farmers of Australia. And you've got a brand name too, then what do you call that?
True Organic. It's the brand name that
we... True Organic.
Yeah, we produce UHT milk and cheese and milk powder and butter and, yeah.
Now, you recently went to Singapore and you're looking at, can you give us a bit of an idea, give us a bit of a rundown on what you did at Singapore and, can you tell us about that?
Yeah, just did a media launch in Hong Kong and Singapore for our brand over there, so the UHT milk and the 6 varieties of cheese that we export. So we did an education and a media launch, basically education on organic and what organic is and why it's good for you, and some cooking demonstrations on how you can use our cheeses and milk in simple everyday quick cooking. And yeah, basically just to educate the Asians on what organic is and why it's good for them. And plus they also, dairy is a fairly new part of their diet to a lot of the native Asians. So the expats and everybody know about dairy in their food diet, but the native Asians have only in the last probably 5 or so years started using dairy as a solid component of their diet.
And these products already have been exported over there?
Yes.
Like the cheeses and the UHT milk?
Yep.
And is it going to Singapore or is it going to other countries as well as Singapore?
We export to Singapore, Hong Kong, Thailand, Taiwan, some into Japan, and just looking into Malaysia at the moment.
Right. So this export meeting or this media meeting was covering of those other countries or was just covering the Singapore-Malaysia area?
Just Hong Kong, Singapore, basically to start with, and a little bit into China because, of course, China, of course, is related with Hong Kong closely now. So mainly into those two.
Right.
And, yeah, we'll see what sort of results we have, whether we expanded or not.
Now, on your farm, again, changing the subject a little bit, on your farm you're quite diversified, so there's advantage of being diversified rather than concentrating on one thing. You might like to explain your reason for diversification and what you're diversified into.
Yeah, well, we obviously got the chook production, egg production, so we basically didn't really want to milk any more cows than what we're milking, so we thought we'd better find another way of income. So the chook sort of enhanced the production of the dairy farm, I suppose, as in it helps fertilise the pastures, and they seem to be working well, the chooks and the cows.
So the fact you've got, well, talking about chooks, the fact you've got chooks, does that mean that there's less paddock feed for the cows? In other words, you sort of limits the amount of cows you can have on the property, or how does the chooks affect the productivity off the dairy farm?
I'd say they'd probably break about even, because what they eat in grass, they make up for with fertilisers, natural fertilisers, so probably work out about the same.
So there's a positive advantage in having the chooks.
Yes.
One less thing you need to buy in.
Yeah. And the chooks go over most of the farm, or they just have a sort of a designated area?
By the time we get a couple more vans to cart them around in, they'll be over most of the farm. There's some seed paddocks they obviously can't go on. But for obvious reasons, but...
Well, it's probably not obvious to a lot of people, because our chooks are actually raised in caravans. So on our steep paddocks, of course, we might have a little bit of trouble with losing caravans down the back hills. So, yeah, for people that don't know, our chooks rotate around the farm in caravans that are decked out especially for the chooks, so... Yeah, it's our easy way to manoeuvre them around the farm and shift them every other day. But, of course, on our steep paddocks, the caravans aren't much good.
Right. And the other diversification was some... I think the only other diversification is the pigs. Is that right?
The pigs we only really do for ourselves these days. But we are growing garlic commercially for the first time this year and goji berries, so got a couple of other little things on the go.
Yeah, that sounds quite exciting to go for the goji berries and the garlic. It's quite interesting that you are, taking those steps.
Yeah, it's good. But, yep. I mean, we've also got three generations on this farm, so it's got to make enough income to cover all three generations, so.
Right. That's interesting in itself. So what are the generations? Is yourself, meaning your generation?
We have our generation. We have Peter's father.
Okay.
And his wife still live on the farm and get an income from the farm, and we have our two boys.
I got it.